outside, she's arrested. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep, he can't hang around. Io's house
in the middle of our street.
Io's house
in the middle of our...
Isle's House, post-deadline edition, post-Sharks edition. Before we get into it, we got to take care of the housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Jack at Isle's Den. Follow Rocco at Pizza Sports Guy. Follow the pod page at Isle's House. Subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts, Spotify, iTunes. Go to YouTube. If you're watching, smash that subscribe button. Leave a comment. Rate us 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you're watching us visually. Nope, I got it wrong. This way, top right corner of your screen, that QR code. I got the Casa hat. Jack took a marketing class. He's rocking the Isle's House hat. Rocco is also rocking the Casa hat. If you want to support us, check out the merch store. We are also sponsored by the fine folks at the Rust and Gold in Huntington. Check them out if you want a great place to watch a game, great food, great drinks. And of course, the bar down below, patreon.com/Isle's House. Come join the Discord. Come get extra content. It's a great time. As little as $5 gets you into the Discord. Gentlemen. How are we?
What a week. Two games in Anaheim, in Los Angeles. Lots of traffic, lots of bad hockey, but at least the Islanders got a win last night. Game-wise, I mean, just ugly, the first two. But last night, I wouldn't say it was beautiful, but it was nice to get a win. So that's what I have on that front before we dive into anything else, I guess.
Jack, quick question. I'm pretty sure the team won 5 in a row. You went to 2 games they lost, and then they won the next one?
The team won 5. Yeah. Am I banned?
No. Dude, you were on a win streak the first
one. You're banned in California.
No? Weren't you 3-0 or 2-1?
Oh, wow. So the road games outside of California that I've been to this year, I'm 2-0. In California, right. I'm 0-2.
It's just California. It's not Jack.
No more California. No state you live, unfortunately, but no more.
It's California.
All right, let's tackle the trade deadline first and get this out of the way. I don't really know where to start. Like, should we start with me and Jack, or should we start a little bit more moderately with you, Rocco?
No, start. Let's just start the Shen talk overall. Going on normal order. Go ahead.
I hate this trade. I really do. I think it's a dumbass trade. I don't think it makes the Islanders better today. I don't think it makes them better next year or the year after. I'm incredibly confused at what the vision is from this general manager. Those who have listened to the podcast know that I've been, I think, quite fair in my criticisms of him, going back all the way back to the offseason, how he navigated some of these contracts and some of these deals. And coming into the season, it felt like there was like a pretty straightforward plan. You got Palmieri with a 2-year deal, Drouin with a 2-year deal. Duclair's trade protection is up this upcoming summer. Like Schaefer, he's going to come into the league. We're going to see what we got. And we got some prospects finally. Victor Eklund, we've got Aitchison, 16th and 17th overall, or 15th and 16th? 16th and 17th overall. Matthew Darche is restocking the prospect pool. Cole Yzerman, he had a great first year at BU. Like, this is great. Like, the kids are going to come up eventually, and in 2 to 3 years, we'll see what we have. We'll have cap space. We'll have a bunch of young players, and that's kind of what the vision is. Matthew Schaefer shit on all those plans because he came in and decided he was a hockey god. And, Jack, stop clicking around. He decided that he was going to be a hockey god. And all of a sudden, the New York Islanders find themselves in second place in the Metro. According to MoneyPuck.com, over 70% chance to make the playoffs. The Metropolitan Division decided they were going to be total shit this year, with the Devils being bad, the Rangers being bad, the Capitals, for whatever reason, unable to win hockey games that they need to win. And so here we go. The Islanders find themselves in second place in the Metro and in a prime position to add. And along the way, you're giving up assets for Carson Soucy, who, for those who don't know, I'm in Ryan and Greg's Rangers Discord, have affectionately named him through the entire season Saddam Soucy. Okay. So you have Carson Soucy, which doesn't really help. I mean, I'm sure Jack will speak to it because he might hate Soucy more than I do, but it feels like they could have gotten better help internally. I don't like taking on the Palat contract. I understand that you're shedding the Tsiplikov money, but again, it's like we have another player over the age of 30 whose play is declining and who the Devils were basically begging someone to take because he was the sole reason they couldn't make a big ad, that they couldn't attack a Quinn Hughes acquisition because of all the no trade clauses, which is another topic that we're going to talk about. And then the cherry on top is I'm going to give up a first and a third to go out and get Braden Schenn, who's having a down year at the age of 34, who has 2 years left on his contract. Where does this fit into any of the equation? We're all of us here probably agree that Schaefer has blown all expectations out of the water. This is now a player whose ELC we want to take advantage of, that we want to go out and surround with talent. Odell is 29. Horvat is 31. Pellick, all over the age of 30. Pageau, who's now re-signed, we'll tackle that in a little bit, over the age of 30. This is not exactly the youngest team in the league. I think after the Braden Schenn acquisition, they have the 27th or 28th highest age average in the NHL. And you're going to go out there and make the team older, slower, and a guy with term.
Now, they're the fourth oldest team in the NHL with an 18-year-old in the lineup.
17 years and 17 months. But that's besides the point, okay? Because the cap situation is really not terrible moving forward, right? The cap is healthy, but there is no one to spend this money on. This upcoming free agent pool, atrocious. The premier free agent for this upcoming class is Nick Schmaltz. All right.
And Schmaltz isn't going to be there.
Sure.
Calling our salary cap situation healthy is like being a skinny person, but all you've eaten that day is McDonald's and Wendy's.
Interesting analogy. Let me finish and then you can go. So my biggest issue with this is the vision. What is the window that we're aiming for here? And two, we just gave up a first round pick. This year, the Islanders have a first. They don't have a second. They don't have a third.
Well, they had a third that they gave up in this.
Right.
Yeah.
And if your spin is, they had to include the third to get rid of Drouin. That's a contract that this general manager signed. And 8 months later, he's paying someone to take it off the roster. Okay. Poor asset management. I don't think the New York Islanders have the ammunition, based on some of the prices that we heard for the Nyes of the world, the Robert Thomases of the world, to go out this summer and make that big splash and make that big trade. And this GM is just giving away picks for 34-year-old declining forwards who are not going to help this team get over the edge. I think we all agree that like this is not a cup team. Like we're all happy that they're performing well. We're excited to see them in the playoffs. We're excited for Matthew Schaefer to get playoff experience. But he does not put you over the edge. He probably weighs you down in the next 2 years. And so I don't understand it. Like, what is the vision here? And for all these people that are saying, well, the Colorado pick is late, it might as well be a second. I mean, give me a break. Like, these are premium assets. One, we don't know that the Colorado pick is going to be late. Like, what if they get bounced in the first round? Now, all of a sudden, that's not a super late first round pick. Second of all, you can use that pick and package it with your own to get up into the territory of these prospects that the entire Isles Nation is creaming themselves over, Victor Eklund and Kayshawn Aitchison. You can get into that round and take a prospect around that area by packaging picks to move up. We just saw the Flyers do it. They moved up to 13 last year by packaging two late firsts. So again, you can use those picks to move up. And third, Cal Ritchie was the 27th overall pick. All of a sudden he's untouchable to Islanders fans. Like you
second
can
rounder.
You can.
He's first.
Huh? He's basically a second though.
Oh, you're being sarcastic. I got it. Okay, yes. So you can get players that are very talented in that territory. So to me, this asset management reeks. I don't understand what the vision is. I don't understand his plan to take advantage of Schaefer's ELC and doesn't really fill a need for me. And so, yeah, I'm pissed about it. I wish he didn't do it. I think that there's no longer benefit of the doubt with this GM, given the moves he's made already. We're not even fully done with year one yet. And Jack, why don't you go ahead? And then Rocco can give the more level-headed take.
You know, I'm like the type of fan that will give the GM the trust without him having to earn it like you. So I just have faith in the people that hired him are smart enough to kind of just like, you know, not make a hire of a guy that's going to make reckless decisions. Here's the thing I can't get past. This season starts and it's like one of those seasons where you have no expectations. It's a fun team. It's a fun environment. And okay, we have a little bit of a hole on the left side of our defense. You send a third for a D-man. Ethan and I don't love him. And, you know, I can live with that.
I don't like Susie at all.
Okay. We all don't like Susie. But something we could all admit is he's here for a couple of months and we can live with that. We even got the third round pick back. And we took on Palat. And I think we were like, all right, we could deal with Palat. 2 years. He's better than Siplikoff, sure. And he's not like an atrocious liability type player. Does he move the needle so much? Probably not. But it's a pro. He's in our lineup. And yes, all right, we got that Stanley Cup experience. Nobody else on the team had won a cup. So Palat's been okay. I was fine with that. Going into this deadline, I said that like the only ads that probably make sense are guys that A, you don't have to pay a lot for, and B, if you're going to pay a lot, they're a solution down the line. So let's distinguish the difference here. I do not hate Braden Schenn, but I have never hated a trade this much from the second it was announced.
You don't like Braden Schenn. Be honest. You don't like Braden Schenn.
It's not that. It's really not. I do not care. No, I don't dislike Braden Schenn. I'm not rooting against the guy to succeed. He's on our team, and we kind of, I guess we need him to do something because now we have traded a first, a third, and the celebration of getting here's a couple things that really bother me about this trade. The celebration that this guy waived his no trade clause. Are you guys fucking kidding me? Like, we're acting like we just acquired Wayne Gretzky here. He is on the broadcast for 20 times last night. It's just like solo features. He's the first guy to waive his no trade. Him and Pilato, the first two to waive their no trade clause. These are declining players that are 34 years old. And this is one of the more reckless trades I can remember. What should they have done? They should have held on to their assets for a better opportunity. Correct. Or actually used them. Now you have $13 million in Palat and Braden Schenn, who at this point in his career is a third line center. And that's pretty much the minutes he's playing right now.
And then so, what do you do to follow up that move, Jack? You extend your third line center.
That part I don't understand that part at all. Like that contract at least wasn't bad in my opinion. So I'll let it go, but I just don't understand how, like, this felt like we need to make a splash type of move for no reason at all. You did not really change anything with the outlook of this team. Look, last night's obviously a small sample size, but it showed last night. I'm so sick of this shit, man, because you throw him right on power play one. What happens? He takes a one-timer, smashes it into Mario Ferraro. They get the clear. They come back down. Heinemann's now on the ice in the bumper. What does he do? He smashes a one-timer into Mario Ferraro. And great. It's the same thing, except now there's 13 million of mid players now added to this team. I thought Darsh was supposed to build this thing up the right way with using the draft picks or spending them on the or trading them for players that fit the timeline. And yeah, there's a lot more.
I just want to add two things quickly before Rocco goes. It really reeks of hubris because if you're trading away first round picks and you're not even complete with your first year as GM on what we all acknowledged going into the season was a team that needed to rebuild the pool and rebuild like the youth, and you're just giving away first round picks. You're that confident that Victor Eklund and Kayshon Acheson and Danny Nelson and all these guys are going to just come in and be difference makers. I hate that.
that was a good point made by you in the Discord, and I agree with it, where you said this move tells me you're confident in your prospects, but you're depending too much on them. I mean, we've gone through the Reinhardts, the Nito Riders enough times to know that that usually doesn't work. More often than not, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Every now and then you get a couple teams that hit on multiple guys, but still you have to make the right moves within them.
And
kind of like a New Jersey.
What about the quote where he said, our goal today was not to touch the top prospects? Dude, your goal should be to do what's best for the team, and you completely failed at that today.
He's got one top prospect.
He didn't move any of our top prospects.
I get it. And my second point is that at some point, we're going to have to acknowledge that we're living through an outlier goaltender season.
Yes.
Plus 35 expected goal saved above expected. I think the second team on that list is like 18. Like, Ilya Sorokin is having an anomaly season. Like, yes, he's very good.
He should be the Vezina.
He's playing out of his mind. And if he goes from this level to simply great, I don't even know if this team's in the playoffs.
Well, one more thing, too. Shen has just finished his Blues tenure this season, and his most common line mates were Kyrou and Buchnevich. And then he comes here, and you voice your displeasure about the trade, and you have people tell you that a change of environment should help him, and that change of environment is now playing next to a 20-year-old who's good, and Emil Heinemann. Like, how am I supposed to believe with a rational brain that he is going to improve under that setting? Like, it's okay to question the general manager. People question the president of the United States every day, every minute. But Matthew Darche, this fan base thinks that he's like
untouchable.
And it's just a complete joke. How do you say
Teflon in French Canadian?
I don't know, man, but you would have thought Lou was still running this team if you saw the transactions at the deadline and all the trades we made this season a year ago. And one more, the eye for talent to me is an absolute major concern. I mean, this guy has eyed down Riddick, Heinemann, Drouin, Shen, Palat, Soucy. I'm probably forgetting some, but what the hell has he done to make this team better this season? I'll wait.
I mean, forget this season. What about the next few?
I can't. He protected himself nicely by getting firsts for Noah Dobson. Honestly, thank God he didn't get a player back, because God knows what the hell he would have thought was acceptable. Back. Okay, fine. But he was not like the main piece of the trade.
No, I know. Okay. So I'm going to try to sort of timeline this, because there's like a series of events, right? There's the Soucy deal. Obviously, he gives up the third. I immediately thought it was a little high, but at the same time, I remember coming on here saying, it's a whatever trade. That's how I feel about it. Whatever. Third round pick. If he helps, he helps. He's this year's Bortuzzo. Sure. Then you have the Palat deal, where you send out Siplikov, you only get that third round pick back, and you take on Palat's deal. And the whole thing and the defense of it is, well, now you got Soucy for free, but people really weren't understanding that you're taking on a lot of money to get Soucy, quote unquote, for free. Palat is $6 million this year and next year. It's not an expiring deal. It wasn't like a half, we're taking advantage of the LTIR, and then he's gone. No, he's on the books next year too. Okay. Then the GM deal, and I believe this is on some video I could potentially go and find after this. He literally said, I will not be trading first-round picks for older players. He literally said that. And listen, he's a GM in the National Hockey League. They all lie. They basically have to lie for their job, whether they're negotiating or just, you know, lip service to the media, to the fans, whatever. I get that part. You have to lie at times. But the fact that you literally straight up said that, I will not give up a first-round pick for older players. I'm not giving first-round picks up for a 35-year-old. And then this is what you go out and do. So my main thing is, I look at this team in the now and into the future and what their holes are. And the funny part is, for me, the now and in the three-year future, the holes are the same. We're missing the one thing we've always been missing, the star forward that knocks everyone else down a rung and goes in on that first line, and everyone else comes down. And that would have been the move that truly improved our lineup. that player, this deadline, did not get traded. There were multiple, quote-unquote, available. Thomas, Kyrou, maybe there's a couple more I can't think of off the top of my head. None of them got dealt. So if none of them get dealt, fine. Whatever. You couldn't do it. You tried to do it. It's just not there. But instead, you go and get Braden Chen. And what's the other hole on our team? The right-handed defenseman that we all talk about. Right now, we're okay, right-handed defenseman, but come next year, 2 years, 3 years, we're going to need to figure that out. We don't have any in the pipeline, and Tony D is expiring. So who's that next? So we have these two glaring holes. Top flight forward, right-handed D, and you go get a third-line center. So that was my main issue. And to be honest with you guys, I was so crazy at work that day. I had to like take a night to digest it. And when I digested it, I wanted to vomit, quite honestly.
Here's another thing to digest. Do you remember what happened to the Blues in game 7 last year in Winnipeg in the first round?
I don't.
Well, Braden Schenn, captain of the Blues, was on a team that blew a 3-1 third period lead in game 7 and lost.
Oh, so he'll fit in well.
And was on the ice. This whole like, this entire any intangible, we have enough intangibles and leadership on this team as it is.
Yes,
like preach.
Repetitive. That's the main word I would use for Braden Schenn on this team. He is repetitive. He doesn't fill our holes. And honestly, I'm a little higher on him as a player than you guys are. I'm not like he's out of this world, but I think he could be a solid player. But to me, this move was the move of a Colorado Avalanche, a Dallas Stars, a Tampa Bay Lightning, a Carolina Hurricanes. That you've been there, you've been right there, and you hope this guy fits, can help you throughout a playoff run, and he plays well. For us, and I think all of us would agree, we're probably not winning a cup this year. He doesn't really fit. He's getting older. It just felt forced. And in my mind, I believe Darsh told himself, whether it was the beginning of deadline day, a couple days before, whenever else, I'm rewarding this room. We're going to get some. I think he put it in his mind, we're going to get someone, and this was kind of a not-so-great consolation.
He tilted.
Yeah.
Armstrong got the better of him.
Yeah, I think he got a little too focused on St. Louis because there's those obvious guys at the top that were there. And I think we sort of just kind of got this deal. And it was pretty late. I mean, what was there, an hour before the deadline this one went through? So a lot of moving parts, as Ethan said. Drouin going the other way, that was his own fault. Salary dump, whatever. First round pick, I didn't like. I totally agree with Ethan. You could either move up or use it as another asset.
Me too. I'm with you guys.
I just do not like, again, we have two glaring holes now and into the future. And we used premier asset. Whether you want to admit it or not, you can call it a second round pick. I don't care what you say. It's a first round pick. And it's a valuable asset. And we used it for what other teams would use as a luxury. We bought a luxury piece for a prime price. And that's my issue.
We've also now sold two players this season in Siplikov and Drouin. No matter what Siplikov was going to become or Drouin, you sold them at their absolute lowest. And I think the anger for me really is the anger and the straight up sadness for me is that a GM that makes this type of trade, it is a catastrophic red flag. And this is the person that is in charge of the team, and the fans just literally get down on a knee for him. And it's really scary because, man, I am very worried about the future of this team now. And he has one job, and it is to build around Matthew Schaefer, and Palat and Susie are the guys that are under term that you've added to this team this season. It is a terrible sign.
You're getting yourself stuck. Like, if I would feel a little bit better about this if Schenn was only the 2 year. If he was on that 2 year plan, like Drouin was, Palmieri is, Cizikas is, and like all these guys come up at the same time. This is not a guy you want at 6.5 on the roster for two more years after this. I mean, he's a solid player. And then you go and extend Pageau. Honestly, for a split second there, when this trade went down,
I was like, they must have a trade in the hopper for Pageau.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe they're flipping Pageau, and then it would kind of make sense and say, okay, we're getting a first back for Pageau, so it's like we're trading a third for Braden Schenn. And that kind of was like another, like, okay, Darsh is playing that little juggling game again where it's, the little third round pick magic, and we're flipping a first, and it all comes out in the wash, and we get the player, and we have him for two extra years, whatever, fine. But then you extend Pageau. Yes, people are correct when they say it was a team friendly deal. He would have got more on the open market. I think he would have got like 5.5 on the open market. And honestly, and it's not a bad deal. But my issue with that deal is not either. My issue is not Braden Schenn. My issue is not JGP. My issue is Darsh. What are you doing? What, like,
it makes no sense, man. Let's be honest.
Spider-Man. Your deadline is the Spider-Man meme. They're just pointing at each other. The same thing.
Dude, here's one thing I will say. If Darsh acquired a 32, 33-year-old that filled one of the needs that you said, if he spent this on Mackenzie Weegar, I don't know how you guys would feel. I would be defending him. And
a little bit more. Can I be honest, too? I would have rather Stamkos than this.
Same.
Are you kidding me? Of course you would.
He has 30 goals. And I know he probably wouldn't have waived anyway, but like, we were shitting on a potential Stamkos deal. Like, I would have given up that package for Stamkos way sooner than I would have done this.
He has tangibles, though. We don't do that here.
Yeah.
I think, again, like, I cannot emphasize enough. I feel like we are desensitized at this point, or part of the fan base is, or at least is taking for granted how much Matthew Schaefer has transformed this team and the insane season that Ilya Sorokin is having.
Yeah, without them.
Do you, like, we're not looking close. The New York Islanders do not have a single point per game player.
Yep, and the GM decided to pretty much add players. That is, it feels like
Rocco.
Yeah,
Horvat's somewhat close, and was kind of right there.
Not really, he's got 44 and 50. Like, feels close, but you extrapolate that, and it's like 0.8.
Played a little banged up too, but yeah. No,
compare that to Vegas, who's got 72 points, second in the Pacific. They have Eichel well over a point per game, Mitch Marner at a point per game, Mark Stone well over a point per game, although he's hurt now. And then they have two guys who are like in Horvat territory, Hurdle and Dorofeev.
Right. And so I mean, let's talk about, I don't want to call them missed opportunities because they didn't even get traded, but the guys we did want, the Kairos, the Thomases, to me, obviously they would have cost much more. But to me, the difference is, like you just said, we don't have a point per game guy. If you put that first line, let's say Kairou, Horvat, Barzal, they might all just become point per game because it's a nicely balanced line and they're all putting up points and helping each other. Do you know how much that – who played there last night with those two guys? I don't remember off the top of my head. Was it Duke – not Duke. Who was it?
Who played with who? Sorry.
Horvat and Barzal last night.
It was Heinemann.
Heinemann. And again, I love Heinemann. He's my guy. But like, you need a player there. You need a guy that's a true first line, at least a true – top six forward to go with him, and it balances everything out. Watching Palat on that line, I mean, I can't do it, man. He's like three steps too slow. I call him Tall Komarov for a reason. He just not in the play at all. He holds them back. It's just frustrating, and we never have that final piece. And if we do have that final piece, he doesn't want to sign, and he goes to Detroit or whatever on a much cheaper deal.
I'm telling you right now, Armstrong is loving himself some Matthew Darsh and Steve Yzerman, because he got to – get so many assets for Braden Schenn and Justin Falk. Kairou and Thomas are not sniffing the trade market again. Instead, he's going to use these assets to execute his retool. And the Blues are going to be a better team because their GM is disciplined and understands, okay, nothing's available at this deadline. I need to sell anyway. And then, you know, when Jason Robertson, when they want to trade him after they lose in the first round of Minnesota, or one of these premier players, Armstrong is going to have the assets from his old friend Darsh. And that's why I'm so disappointed. It's like, why did we have to spend on this? And like, the GM pretty much put a gun to the team's head, adding $13 million in cap space on a team that like was overachieving. The vibes have never been more fun. And you just like throw this on them, two players that aren't even difference makers. Just feels like now they have to make the playoffs. Now they have to win a round.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be like that, man.
Go ahead, Ethan.
No, I agree with Jack, at minimum.
I disagree with the he's keeping the other two guys part. And Jack should maybe read the Insider Channel a little better. But all in all, though, like for him not to trade Thomas and not to trade Kairou, Armstrong did a good job. I mean, he got a first plus. I don't remember the exact trade for Falk, but he got a first plus, right?
Yep.
And then he got a first plus for literally Braden Chen, and the only cost was really
one more year of Drouin's
deal, which is just next year. And he could, and if Drouin has a bounce back, he could then flip Drouin and get whatever, you know, like a mediocre pick, but you might get something out of him. So it's just frustrating. And I don't
like, are they going to extend Andrews Lee?
Another thing that really rubs me wrong.
I would be shocked if they don't, because I mean, we kept saying we're going to wait till the deadline. And I was the first person to say, let's give him time. We're all too used to Lou. We all think he's just going to extend this guy and extend that guy. And he loves his guys. He loves his players. They're one guy away. And what did he do? Full on.
Math Lou Darsh.
Yeah. Lou with a French accent, really. He's like, same thing.
I also feel that the fit with Shen, this is one thing I find really weird. You add Shen, you don't re-sign Lee. Lee's the lead. We can say, I've said a lot about Lee in terms of if I think that they should extend him for the better of the franchise this entire year. I've actually said no, but that doesn't mean that we should be. It just kind of feels like how does he feel?
Lee's got 7 more points than Braden Shen this year.
I mean, he's playing better lately too. Wouldn't you guys agree? Like,
he came out of the Olympic break on fire.
Yeah, well, I saw a video. He was working with Adam Oates.
One thing that I will admit I'm being petty is like the red carpet for a guy that has 12 goals and is minus 23. Holmstrom, another guy that I have not been so nice to. Really, he has to switch his number for Braden Shen.
Yeah, it's for the better.
Yeah, but first of all, fire number.
Fire number, fine.
And then, Ethan, what's the word for the little
an umlaut?
What?
The thing above the O.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right.
So you know, not gonna try that again. But you know, I think it looks great.
Yeah. And, I don't know how it's pronounced. Hold on.
And supposedly it's like a
umlaut. Umlaut.
Are you done pronouncing it so I could make my point?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's a big respect thing with the European players, supposedly, too, when you put that on their jersey, which is pretty cool. And 92 is a sick number, too. I think that's
fire. It's unreal.
When he has like a sick goal with like one of his deeks, it's going to look cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It did. Obviously, we all knew the switch was made. It was like a big announcement. It's going to take me a couple games. Like, I'm like 92. Well, like, it just looks weird.
Does it not annoy you guys a little bit how it's like a big deal that he waived for us the team with Matthew Schaefer? And
well, I will say that the team is looked at in a better light than some fans talk about. I feel like sometimes, again, we get trapped in like the Coliseum era across from the Marriott and say like, oh, guys won't want to come here, whatever else. We have a new arena. We have a young star player. Like there were for example, Robert Thomas, like I truly believe from everything I heard, he would have came. So like, to me, that's a big one. Like if that went down, it would be like, wow, like Robert Thomas, this is sick. But like, yeah, Shen, like give me a break. Like, of course he's.
That's like the only silver lining here is that if Braden Shen absolutely loves it, which we know he will because everyone does.
And he has kids. So he's obviously going to love it.
There's no silver lining. This is one of the worst trades I've ever seen.
He's going to talk about recruiting the other guys.
Yeah, like if Robert Thomas comes over in the summer or Jordan Kyrou comes over in the summer and the first thing out of his mouth in the press conference is how Braden Shen recruited him and told him how great it is and how incredible Matthew Schaefer is, all right, all's forgiven.
Kind of. But then again,
you're going to have to spend assets. Both these guys have term. Steen is not going to have to move either of them if the deal's not right. And these guys are probably going to have multiple teams on their wish list. So,
I'm sure Shen's first instinct is to get recruiting to Long Island. I mean, come on, guys.
The other issue with those players now too is like you have a better chance when it's like, all right, a playoff run. The Islanders probably going to be in the playoffs. Hop on that team, whatever. A guy like Robert Thomas, when he gets to the summer, if I'm Robert Thomas and the GM doesn't trade me, come summertime, I'm picking my spot and you deal with it. Because he has a full no move, I believe. So he could just – I know it was now. I'm not sure if it gets modified in the summer, but I'm pretty sure it's still a full no move. So the issue we're going to run into with that too is like guys are going to start picking their spots in the summer. So
have we ever spent 35 minutes on one transaction? This is crazy.
I think we did last year for Brock.
Brock.
I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, if you're a fan, you're excited about the ad. I have no problem with that. But do not try to convince me to be happy about it, because.
And listen, I think all three of us, I mean, we're all obviously Islander fans, like pretty much everyone listening, right? We want him to do well. But it's not just about this year. Like, I think we got a little tiny, like we got a little bit better right now. But we have bigger question marks in the future with less assets. And that's my issue as a whole. I don't think we got a little better right now. We're almost in all likelihood not winning the cup. And then when we go into the summer, and again, we're begging for this big fish forward, we have one or two less assets to try to throw at that guy. And we have another hole with the right-handed defenseman that if we can't find a nice free agent fit that could fit under the cap and whatever else, it's just not going to be easy. Like, I don't see a world now after the Palat deal, Shen deal, and obviously there's a long time between then and now, but it's tough to envision how much better the team will be next year, and that's my main issue with it. Like, how much better can they get next year? Because if they – and again, hindsight's 2020. If they stood pat, maybe the three of us would be standing here saying, oh, my God, I can't believe he stood pat, whatever else. But
If he's standing pat and none of these other like marquee names are being moved, fine.
Right. If Kyrou and Thomas got moved and we stood pat, I would have been pissed. But when I see no one move other than maybe like a Kadri who picked his 2-3 spots and those were the only options, I would have been fine with it. And I would say, you know what? Great. And if Darsh comes out after and says our goal was to keep our top prospects, I would respect that a little more. Instead, you traded a first and a third and a cap dump that you signed for Braden Shen. So again, I hope he does well. I hope he gets to the playoffs and he crushes it there, but it's just
one of the worst goddamn trades you've ever seen.
I mean, look at that roster next year. Don't worry. Victor Eklund is going to save us.
It is like,
it's not. And hold on one second. Shout out Josh Elkin for this work, by the way. Anyone watching on YouTube, you see we have 18 men signed for next year. Josh Elkin put this together for us, and he gave us a couple notes. Let me read them. Again, if you're watching on YouTube, approximately 6.4 mil available with this roster. If Engvall is waived to Bridgeport, can be 19.15 if Varley stays on LTIR.
Well, I trading have that here too.
What?
There you go.
Oh, okay. And then trading Duclair pushes it to 22.65. So obviously 22.65, 18 roster spots, good amount of space. But again, who knows? Are we going to have to give up an asset to get rid of Duclair? Like that third round pick we threw in the Shen deal might be the Duclair asset that's needed to get him out of here. It's just frustrating. Again, thank you, Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
Discord and degenerate card guy. He's always in the trading card channel. So thank you, Josh. Still hasn't pulled the Schaefer, but it'll get there. This is why my take is overall just me being frustrated, is because you look at this and they do have cap space, but guess what? The cap's going up and a lot of teams are going to have cap space.
Doesn't give you an excuse to add players that are expensive, that don't move the needle too.
Let's kind of call it how it is. We have a couple anchors. We've had anchors on this team, on the cap, on the books with Lou for so long that we couldn't land the forward because we couldn't trade so-and-so and whatever else. And then you're kind of voluntarily just picking up these guys. And it's like one could say, okay, well, Shen's gone once. You have to re-up Schaefer, and he's on that bigger deal. But is Shen the guy to waste that, that ELC space on? So, we do have wiggle room. And again, if you move Duclair, Varley will be on LTIR. That won't be an issue. But who are we getting for right-handed D? Who are we? Because there's no one on the UFA market that's forward-wise that's going to really move the needle for us. Like, I like Alex Tuck. I highly doubt he signs here. And two, he's probably going to get very overpaid. So
yeah, he's been incredible this season.
I like him. I like him. Like, he's a good player, but it's just I don't know if he's the right fit for us. I think he's a little bit older of a UFA, too. I want to say he's like 29.
29?
Yeah, so you're going to give him a 7-year deal. Like, how many guys do we need till they're 36?
I'm being rage baited in the Discord right now talking about draft picks.
Yeah, and, well, everything above pick 27 is now a second rounder.
Oh, well, forget about 27. How about 22, 23?
So, it doesn't matter.
If the Islanders are trying to make a big splash, then they're first. It might as well be seconds.
We're going back to the league pre Minnesota Wild, Columbus Blue Jackets when there's only like 20 something teams. Yeah. These are all kind of seconds now. But right, I meant to ask you guys before, in your minds, is Lee here next year?
Yes.
Jack? I'm going to say no, because once again, I hope that there's some common sense. I mean, it doesn't make sense to add Shen and then re-sign both of these guys, but you see the cap space.
I mean, look at Brock. Like, who's to say this guy doesn't want to go cup chase for a year or two?
It's possible, but you know what I think is going to happen? I thought of this the other day. I think they're going to wait it out with him. And they're going to pull, like, Ethan, you remember this with the Panarin saga. Like, Lee has one deal if Panarin signs and a different deal if Panarin doesn't sign. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to play like something like that. Like, they're going to try to get some big free agent signing, whether it's a defenseman or a forward. They're going to let it play out. Lee will wait it out for them, have a couple offers as a backup. And then once that goes down, then I think Lee's going to
resign. I mean,
He's gone. I just realized.
It's reminiscent of Garth Snow being delusional and thinking Stamkos was hitting the market, and then we wind up with Andrew Ladd.
I think he's gone because he still references shit that they've done in Tampa and acting like Brisebois. And I know that since Stamkos walked as a captain in Tampa, I know that's going to be his big message that, like, see, I told you, like, there's going to be some change around here.
Yeah, he also said he wouldn't trade first for a 35-year-old.
No, he hasn't really said – he hasn't said what I've said, but I can see him
– Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, those are the tough decisions you have to make. Like, yeah.
It's a load of bullshit because I would have rather re-signed Lee for even 3 years at a lower number than Shen is right now, because he's a winger. He's a complimentary piece. He's actually played really well recently, and – man, careful what you wish for sometimes. That's a lesson I've learned, because I was of the feeling they shouldn't re-sign Lee, but if it meant what they did yesterday to replace some leadership in the room, fuck that, man. I would have told you, let's re-sign Lee in a second.
Yeah, I'm not even like a Shen hater as a player. I just don't like the move for our team.
I'm not either. He's just not that good. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Although I'm sure the longer we watch him, we'll probably become Shen haters.
Yeah. It's not you, it's me, Shen. It's not you, it's me.
Yeah. I feel like we have to talk about one thing that's positive after 43 minutes of just absolute misery. A lot of people probably we're like, all right, this is getting too negative for me. So let's talk about one positive.
Oh, I thought you were going to actually say something. I didn't know.
I
didn't realize you were doing the thing my wife does to me at dinner. Like, tell me three good things that happened to me. I thought you had like a topic to run off, but Matthew Schaefer, Sorokin, and Horvat. And obviously Barzal there too, but that Horvat goal last night was nasty.
Yeah, like that, like just like your favorite play of the week, something like that. Like, what was something that you thought was awesome? Ethan, you give us one. What was your favorite play of the week?
My favorite, God, I mean,
PBRs last night.
Yeah, the PBRs I had. I mean, they're really not that. Easy. The Pageau face-off win, Horvat goal with a second left.
Yeah, that was pretty sick.
That was nuts.
Yeah. I wish that there were more fun moments in the Islanders games I was at. Being in Anaheim in LA, it was pretty dark. I think my favorite part of last night was I didn't even know when it was going on, but watching Bo Horvat go over to William Eklund, Victor's brother, and just like pop off his helmet, gets a $2,000 fine. I thought that was hilarious, and I wonder what Victor's gonna have to say to him. But yeah, this team already has like some, like you don't need to spend $6.5 million to have a guy do what Bo Horvat did last night, which is what a lot of people are implying. So
damn, can I say one thing? Go ahead. I'm going to say one thing. I hope it'll be well received. I think it might be. I already cannot wait for the Macklin Celebrini free agency saga. That man wants nothing to do with that mentally ill fan base, and I can't wait until
This is what bothers me with hockey as a whole sometimes. And you can tell what fans like maybe just started watching the last couple years or whatever, but like it's like they don't want guys to hit or be physical. Like Ethan, again, we're older, so we remember the, you know, Isles Maple Leaf series and the Sean Bates game where they're just Karens and Shane Corson and whatever are just throwing bodies around, fighting each other, whatever else. Now you see like taps and people are freaking out. Like, I can't believe that's allowed. He should have been thrown at, like, what Horvat did to Eklund, that's like so mild to me. That's kind of what makes it fun. Like, I don't get why people are just up in arms. And honestly, I heard about two clips from the San Jose broadcast last night, and that was embarrassing. It was a little Heinemann show, and they're like, that's ridiculous. How, like, we've seen people annihilate Schaefer, and the team goes after that player and handles it on the ice. If it's so bad, you got Ryan Reeves on that bench. If it's so bad, send him. Otherwise, I don't want to hear you cry. It's also very unprofessional. Oh, my God, this guy got hit. This guy, like, get it together. Brendan, Butch, Hickey, they're not doing that garbage.
There's like, something in the water out in California.
Have some pride. It's just
– be careful, Jack.
Yeah.
It was really, like, again, I listened to two clips and I couldn't listen anymore. Like, the broadcast team over there, brutal. I love that. Like, the Barzell one I get being upset at. But, again, like, if you've watched hockey for a long time, you understand why – one, it's unintentional. Two, Celebrini did have his head down on that play as well. Could they have called it? Maybe, but the way people are reacting, you would think it was like, you know, charging into the face, into the glass, whatever else. It was a little bit more of an awkward.
You're being very diplomatic, Rocco. I'll say that.
Okay.
You're being very diplomatic. And I'm sure some listeners out there appreciate that.
Okay. I think we can now move on to the Q&A, correct?
Maybe. I don't know. Well,
last thing.
Yeah.
On the rundown before the Q&A, just the confidence level of the playoffs. We'll just kind of do you're feeling they're going to make it here? Or
yeah.
You said you would turn on the light and it might be – oh, there we go.
Yeah. I could feel my anger getting worse the darker it got. So I think it's best to be a little refreshed before we enter the podcast questions. That's what we're up to.
Well, we're going to just do the quickly, like playoff-wise. You're comfortable thinking they're going to make the playoffs? You're a little worried? I was actually watching the Pittsburgh-Boston game today, and Boston was cruising, and then Pittsburgh came back and ended up winning in overtime. It was 3-0 Boston in the second. And then Pittsburgh comes back, makes it 3-3. Then it ends up 4-4, Pittsburgh in overtime. So without Malkin and Crosby, Pittsburgh's not going away. Columbus isn't going away. And suddenly it's tight. So I know we're in a pretty good spot, and I think Ethan said Money Puck has us at 70%. But how are you guys feeling? You think we make it?
I believed in the team before, and I still do after.
You're the OG believer.
So I still believe in the team. And the thing is I still don't think there's a change, though, that there's – if Pelech, Barzell, Horvat, Sorokin, or Schaefer, if one of those guys get hurt, we are still fucked. So as long as they're healthy, we're good.
That was – it was almost like we kind of could have used a core piece at the deadline, but
– yeah. Or – well, they were just second-round picks anyway, so don't complain about it, man.
True. I don't know. I get hung up on second-round picks a lot. But, all right. Jack, you want to start us off with the questions?
Let's do it. Oh, Ryan Mead, who has it worse, the New York Rangers or New York Islanders? Okay, the Rangers still have it way worse.
Let's not get too carried away here.
Ryan texted me earlier today. We may do a collab with those guys soon because they want to talk about the state of the NHL and no move clauses and no trade clauses. And Ryan was equally as perplexed as the three of us as to what was that when it comes to the Shen trade. So.
Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. Mark D 20. Are picks 28 through 31 first or second round draft picks? They became second round draft picks the other day, Mark.
As of what was it, March 6th?
Yeah, that
it depends. If it's Cal Ritchie, he's a first. If it's not Cal Ritchie, then it's a second round.
If we own it, it's a first.
Right.
If we trade it, it's a second.
L.I. Isles, Mets 94. Does Darsh know what he's doing? And more importantly, how has Matthew Schaefer changed your life? Thanks. I'll hang up and listen.
No, I don't know. I feel like he keeps kicking the can down the road, right? Like, oh, 2-year plan. And now we're kind of on like the 2.5-year plan with Braden Shen. I don't know, man. I think this team makes the playoffs and they've had a good season, but I don't think most of that's his doing. I think it's lucking into Schaefer and a couple good moves. I don't know if he knows.
Here's the reality. He has no fucking clue what he's doing. And he's not owed the fairness from the fan base as if this guy has ever been on the ice with the team, taken hits, put his body on the line. He's a team employee, and he's put the team in worse position since he took over.
Yeah. He gets a little too cute. That's how I would put it. Get a little too cute with his trades.
Yeah.
He might have the that smartest – like they used to say it about Garth Snow. You guys remember, like, smartest guy in the room syndrome.
Yeah.
Garth Snow. Like, oh, I'm going to go get Josh Hosang. No one's picking him.
Do you know what Garth Snow did at his first trade deadline?
I'm trying to think what year his first trade deadline. Did he make a big trade?
Oh, yeah. You know what he did? He traded a first.
Not Ryan Smith.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. It was Ryan Smith.
Are you sure that was that him? I thought it was before him.
Nope. That was him. That was his first trade deadline. He acquired Captain Canada in his first trade deadline.
Are you sure that was Snow?
Look it up. I have the interview for you and everything. It's incredible.
I don't know. I don't remember the timeline of who was the GM then.
It was his first season. It was the season after Neil Smith.
Honestly, it wasn't a great trade.
Well, it was
because for nothing. But
it was like Robert Nilsson and like Ryan Mara. The Oilers did nothing with it. Like, sure, high end assets, but hey, at least you tried getting a goal scorer.
He also the GM prior also picked Nielsen over Zach Parise, but that's a story for another day.
I think that's another thing that I struggle with Darsh right now is I really do respect taking chances and going for it. 100%. I'm good with buying, but these are half measures. These are safe measures because you know Shen won't be a complete failure in a way where like he has like some – he has a higher floor, so – it's not really – I don't look at it as going for it. I look at it as like fake going for it, that makes sense.
But then does that make sense? Not fake going for it, but kind of like – again, as I said before, I think he was committed to quote-unquote rewarding the room.
Yeah.
Like that was his thing. We got to reward the room. And now it's like, oh, another good character guy. We're rewarding the room. But to me, Braden Shen is a guy – again, I said it earlier. Guy that puts a really good team over the top, not a guy that puts like – an overachieving team, maybe over the top. Like, we got a little bit better. I don't think we got that much better.
Yeah,
we're better than we were pre-deadline, but we're not into contender status, and we have a guy that's just getting older. If you told me we traded for a 27-year-old that has term and it's not just about this year, great. But I don't see this guy improving next year and the following year at that age and that play style.
Absolutely. Josh Elkin. Cizikas has to be gone this summer, right?
Yes.
I could when you look at the cap numbers, if they need that little bit of extra wiggle room, one, he has a little bit of value, which some might get surprised at, but he does like it's not a pay to get rid of type guy.
We don't trade players like that. We only trade them when they bottom out.
Hear me out. If they need the room to make a certain signing, and it's the difference of getting the guy and not getting the guy, Casey Cizikas has positive value and no trade protection. If needed, I could 100% see him being moved, but only, again, if needed. That's the only way. If they need the money and they – how much does he make? 3.5?
2.5.
2.5? If they need an extra 2.5, it's just
– they're not gone.
But if they did –
I wouldn't mind. I know they won't do this, but I really wouldn't mind a transformation of the fourth line to a more modern NHL where, like, you put a little bit of skill down there. You play Shabanov 9 minutes a night. Yeah. Put Richie down there.
Shabanov should have been gone already.
That's fine, but it's okay to try to score goals on your fourth line, you know. It's not a sin.
You can't convince me the 5'8 guy is what's needed on the fourth line. I'm sorry.
That's fine. You know what? We can have our first disagreement on
the Shapovalov. There's a follow-up for Josh, though.
There is a follow-up. If you roll Horvat, Shen, Richie, Pageau down the middle next year, who do you pair JG with on the fourth line so it's not a total waste contract overpay by sticking him with brutal teammates? Well, he's the director of player development still, so whoever the youngest guys are on the team just getting their feet wet in the National, that's probably who I put him with.
I think, I mean, again, looking at contracts, looking who's on the team, I could see JGP being 4C. You put Cizikas on the wing. He's not bad on the wing. Or you could, you know, have him take draws on his strong side. You have one righty, one lefty on the draws. And then you just put Gatcombe on the other side. I wouldn't be surprised if that's kind of the thing. Because I don't see Duclair here. And maybe there's a random ad come, you know, that always happens where these – like we weren't expecting Heinemann last year. A good player like that comes or whatever it may be. But, yeah, I think it's going to probably be JGP, Cizikas if he's here on the other flank. And then maybe just a random guy or like a Gatcombe type. More of a bang.
T Isaac 39. Interesting question. Is the Brock Nelson trade now a loss? I will say no. Because Cal Ritchie is 20 years old, playing on PP1. And I've loved what I've seen from him this year. I think grading him in the vision that he is 20 years old, I think he's done a fantastic job. I think the team's maybe asked too much of him at times. And he's developing, he's doing his thing. So, no, I don't think it's a loss because I think just getting Richie made it a win.
I actually think it's the opposite of a loss. I think it's a win-win. I think it was good for Colorado and good for us. I think it's what we needed. We needed a young player. They needed the now. You know, they needed it. Brock's playing great there. So, good for Brock, good for us. I think it's actually a win-win, that deal.
I'm giving Cal Ritchie the Simon Holmstrom treatment. At least half point per game next year.
Yeah. I can see it. I think it was last night he looked really good.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, he had the assist on D'Angelo's goal. It was great.
Right. And it's funny too, because like you talk to people that don't watch the team on Twitter, they're like, this guy sucks.
Pause the program. I cannot believe my fucking eyes. There has been a goal scored by a St. Louis Blue.
You win.
On the power play.
I told you that was going to happen.
Kidding me.
100 and I think 19 days. Unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable that shit happens, dude. I can't wait to look at this goal.
Hold on. I'm pulling it up on Twitter. Wait, are we sure?
It just happened. I had the NHL scores up.
Jonathan Drouin scores in his Blues debut 41 seconds ago.
I'm retweeting that.
All right. Once you're done retweeting, can we continue? I want to go to bed. I'm so fucking tired today.
All right. What's the question? Next question.
Sorry for the interruption there. I thought it was important enough. But hey, Lupo, which 34-year-old captain with multiple years of term left do you think Darsh is targeting next over the summer? Mine is Jamie Benn.
Oh my God! Wait, can you repeat that? I didn't hear the beginning.
Which 34-year-old captain is Darsh targeting this offseason?
Oh gosh, is Jamie Benn? Jamie Benn's probably a little older, right?
yeah, it's a good question.
I don't even know how old he is now, but yeah, I don't even know. To be honest, outside of like those top two forwards that we mentioned before, and Schmaltz and Tuck, I don't even know who's a free agent that's even halfway decent. Do you guys know of anyone, like a random forward you can name that, like, oh, he'd be an okay target? I can't name one.
Hold on. I may have the answer.
And you know what bothers me, too, with this team as Ethan looks up the answer?
I just have to check his contract.
We got to – like, why can't we – like, you look at Pittsburgh right now. Have you seen how good Chinnikov has been playing there?
Yeah.
That would have been a great pickup for us. Like – we need our, you know, it would help if our pro scouts every now and then landed one of these guys that you just randomly pick up that, you know, lightning in the bottle.
Yeah, I got it.
Who?
Sean Couturier.
Is he a free agent?
No, but we could trade basically second round picks to get him. He's 33. He's only got 28 points in 61 games.
Bro, that's not happening.
Bro, this is perfect. This is exactly what Darsh is looking for.
Please. I'll go with Foligno, but he hasn't won a cup, so I don't know.
No, I think he's going to – is his brother still signed in Minnesota after this year? They'll probably just play together the rest of their career.
Yeah, true.
Which is kind of cool and I kind of respect, right? Like, I think that's a pretty cool thing.
It is cool. I like that.
I got one more answer.
As far as targets, is this a free
agent? And this guy's a free agent.
What – how old?
35. Hold on, I got to see if he's bad enough. Let me see how he's doing this year.
Claude Giroux a free agent?
No. He's too good. He's too good, but he does fit the age 35? Bill, and he's a pending free agent. Yeah.
35?
Almost 36. He'll be 36 before the start of next season.
Oh, he's probably like the 07 draft. Oh, God. Is it Patrick Kane?
No.
Oh.
He's a captain.
He's a captain right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. Just tell us.
Jordan Eberle.
No, he just re-signed.
Did he?
I think he extended for 2 years.
Oh, damn. Okay, so that takes it out of it.
All right.
I thought – oh, because he's current contract next 2 years. Yeah, okay, two years. I didn't scroll down on Puckpedia far enough.
2 by 5.5, I think.
Yeah. Till his age 38 season.
Good for him.
44 points in 60 games.
I've always liked Ebs. I was sad to see him go.
Drouin score. The next question is, Chris G, how much do you miss Jonathan Drouin?
And he just scored.
It's unbelievable. I do miss him because –
what if Darsh goes out and trades for Victor Hedman?
Stop.
Just stop, please.
Let's keep going with the questions, please.
Mark D, what's the vision for this team? Is it a first round exit for eternity? So that's not my problem, Mark, with the trade. I still believe in like the great players on this team and in this lineup. It's just I don't believe that. I don't believe that's
how long, Jack.
That's like, the vision.
That's my issue too. You're giving up picks. And we have a nice group, but outside of Schaefer, they're all getting a little older.
I think the ceiling for this current team right now is the conference final. Is that fair or is that crazy?
Maybe the absolute ceiling, like Barry Trotz.
Yes.
Run.
Yes, sure. Yes. That's what I'm saying. I think that's the furthest they can go.
In a week east, sure.
But like.
And then maybe get smacked around by Tampa. Yeah, maybe.
Like, sure, it'll take. It'll take great goaltending from Sorokin. It'll take all hands on deck, but I think it's possible given who the first opponent can be in the Metro.
I'm not going to lie. I've said this before. I'm pretty confident we could win a first round this year.
Absolutely.
Why not? It's going to be either – I mean, I was shocked by Washington's actions too because I was scared of Washington because the way they play us. And then they sold. So it feels like it's either – if we make it in that one of those two or three spots in the Metro, it's either probably going to be Columbus or Pittsburgh, right? I don't think anyone else is really even sniffing it right now. I think Washington kind of fell because I think they lost after the deadline. So I'm not saying we 100% win, but I'd be confident against both Columbus and Pittsburgh.
Next question is Josh Elkin. How bad is Lee's eventual extension going to fuck us over?
I don't think it's going to fuck us over more than as much as it's going to annoy us.
Fair enough. TR Josh 22. Why was Rocco left to carry the weight of the Insiders Channel during deadline day?
Ethan did well. Ethan did well.
LI Isles Mets 94. Rocco, how annoyed was I when I found out about the trade when I was in the shop? So, and when is Lee's 8x12.5 coming in?
So I feel bad because he was in the shop and like it was really crunch time for the deadline. So I'm looking at my phone, I'm working, I'm trying to do both at once. And he's there, and you know, nicest guy in the world. He's there chatting up with me. He's coming a couple times. We're just talking about aisles and the trades and whatever. And then it kind of went down. We're both just waiting to see what happens, the details, whatever else. And it kind of just went so, like we just stopped talking to each other for a couple minutes because it was, I think we were both a little upset and had to process the situation. So. Neither of us were too happy.
Next question from Muffin. Which of the overtime winners this season is your favorite?
Oh, that's tough.
There's 9 of them.
For me, it's easy because I was in Vegas and the Islanders just went down on a 4-on-3. I turned to the guy next to me. I was like, all right, it's been a good run, but like we're done. And Pageau just goes through the whole team and scores. That was the most shocking result I've seen this year. That was the most
shocking by far.
That was awesome.
We're about to lose. One of the Schaefer one, I would say, is mine.
Yeah, I was gonna say the Schaefer Leafs overtime winner.
Yeah, because and it should. We all know why the Schaefer Leafs one.
Although honestly, the one against Utah was cooler.
No, but there's reasons for the.
Yeah, like, I know. I get it. Deeper. I get it. Just you take, if you take the team out of it, that give and go with Barzal.
That was sick.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how we're so good in OT. I do know how. It's because Schaefer, but Schaefer and Horvath.
And Barzal.
And let me just throw in this jab. There's no 3v3 overtime in the playoffs, fellas. So
there is in the gold medal game, though.
There is.
Next question.
Next question is from SP. Scale of 1 to 10, how panicked are we on how Darsh will do in the offseason? I'm a 10, man. Like, I don't know what else to say. I've lost faith in the general manager. Love the players on this team that have taken us this far, but that doesn't mean I have to be a fan of the GM. Absolutely do not like this guy.
I'll say like a 7. I'm not the type of guy to go 10 on the worry meter, especially this far out. I'll go 7. I don't think my thing with the worry meter is like there's not many free agents. We're probably going to not have enough assets for the top end guys via trade. So what deal is there to make? So that's why I worry the team might not get better and take a step back. But as far as the moves he's going to make, I'm not overly worried. A lot to do because I just can't think of it right now. I'm focused on the season. But yeah, I'll give it a 7. You guys are 10s.
This guy dissected the situation this team was in and thought that guy was the answer for our second round and third round picks. So
second round, that's going to be a running joke for a long time.
The one thing that really does scare me, the reason really why it's a 10, the moves are bad. The PR is just as bad. The fans that are going to bat to defend this guy and are just like the overarching feeling around this GM, around the league and in media is that he's done a fantastic job. And like, that's what scares me is like, he's got all of the PR on his side. So
can I tell you guys something funny? Near this time of year, like near the deadline or in free agency or the draft or whatever, I always put I think I have them on year round, basically. I'm not going to lie. The Islanders notifications, especially when Lou is around, because that's the only way you got news. It was through the Islanders Twitter. Still have the Islanders notifications on, and obviously this is like a little bit after the trade goes down. We're slammed at work. It's a Friday in Lent, whatever. And I look at my phone, and it's Islanders Twitter. Shed highlights just dropped. And I was so angry. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, maybe if Kyrou highlights were dropping, that would be sick. But Shen highlights just dropped. I'm like, stop it.
Please. 27 please.
Highlights. Thank you, though.
You know what my favorite was? My favorite was last night on D'Angelo's goal when Mario Ferraro's tying up Shen's stick in front of the net. And they're like, wow, he did a great job getting in front of the net there. There was no screen, and well, he got tied up by the defenseman.
Sometimes, but yeah, I know what you mean.
They
were really trying to give him credit. Yeah.
Cal Ritchie made a great play, and we're focused on a 34-year-old getting tied up in front of the goddamn net.
One thing I did like that he did last night, to just give him a little bit of credit, I don't know who it was. He laid somebody out on the Sharks, like big time. This guy, he can hit. That's one good part about him too. Like, and again, you hope it's one of these guys that could excel in the playoffs. But, oh, and you know who we haven't even spoken about too? We have next year that I keep forgetting that he's going to be on the team. Palmieri. We have him too. So
thank God. A good player.
Coming off a torn ACL. Yeah.
At least we still get the pictures when he scores.
That's true.
D-A-A-N, Dan. Where's this team sitting without Sorokin? I don't know, but they're
out of the playoffs. McKenna watch.
Not a bot. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you hate Doug Armstrong? 10. He got us, man.
You know what? I'm not going to go 10 just because I'm like, I sort of respect it. Those
returns right.
He got, I want it to be a 10, but damn, from like an asset business standpoint,
What a job.
And you know what, too?
Notice going out with a bang.
Yeah. He's just out of there. He's like, you know, yeah, I fucked these guys over a little bit, but I'm out. See you.
Enjoy your 2 seconds.
If I was a Blues fan, I would be so fired up after that deadline. My God. Good for Armstrong and those boys.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, I think if I was a Blues fan, I would have been expecting, like, holy shit, we're going to have, like, the number one prospect pool after this deadline. And you just kept those guys. So now you're, like, if they just, again, I know you said it before, if they just keep those two guys in Shen and Kyrou, they're just going to be like the Islanders were pre-Schaefer. Like, just okay, maybe not bad enough to get number one overall pick type deal, and they're just going to be in mediocrity. I think they have to rip the Band-Aid off all the way.
100%. Hog got him. Did you know the cap was rising? Right. I forgot the cap was rising. Thank you.
How did we not talk about
it? Every single deal. When your GM overpays for something, the cap is going up.
T. Isaac, are there any more 31 to 35-year-old forwards you see the Islanders targeting in the offseason?
Yeah, we just
Jordan Eberle, according to
you. Ha, got him. How much older do you think we can make this roster with our first-round picks we have left available to trade for?
Darsh just drafts overagers in the draft. It's only 20-year-olds. He won't draft the 18-year-olds.
Is a late first-round pick actually a second-round pick? How has Braden Schenn changed your life?
He's made first-round picks, second-round picks. That's how he's changed my life.
I was going to say the same thing. Brilliant. T. Isaac, do you think Darsh said at the beginning of the year he wanted to make the team younger and faster, that he was mistranslating from French and he really meant older and slower? Wow. Loving these questions tonight, man.
These are crazy.
New Mike, do you think we've made ourselves too admirable and too attractive that we can't even trade UFAs because they want to stay so bad?
Quite a spin.
I'm going to say no. I think players move on from teams all the time. T. Isaac 39, is Duclair now an Isles villain for not waving? No, I don't know what the hell we were going to get for him. And the cap's rising, so it doesn't really matter.
We gave him that deal. So from a personal standpoint, I can't get that upset at a guy for not waving, especially because I was defending Jacob Trouba so much last year as well. So
no. David S, what are your guys' preferred lines now? I liked last night's just flip Duclair with Heinemann. That's it.
I don't like Duclair on the top line, but yeah, I mean, Barzal, Horvat's automatic. I don't know who's I don't know, man. Yeah, I guess between Heinemann or Duclair, you're kind of at that point. Second line is who was the second line last night?
Pageau, Holmstrom, Lee.
Yeah, that line that line's playing well. So in the short term, I don't think you could change it up. I agree. I would kind of I would keep the lines from last night, to be honest. And I thought they looked good last night too.
David S. Schenn doesn't seem like a Wah guy, like right. A guy Wah would want system wise. Do you guys think he actually wanted him?
Well, yeah, because supposedly he was in the meeting getting him, convincing
to
him
to wave. Yeah.
I think he is a Wah guy because he's like physical and he's like.
Yeah, he laid a big hit yesterday.
Laid a big hit and he's going to get up in the big games and whatever else. Like, he's going to be intense. So I think he is not Wah. He's not for Wah's system, but he's for Wah's mentality, if that makes sense.
Right.
The Bry man. I miss when the coach was my concern with this team. I have nothing to say about Patrick Wah now. The Bry man, 3-pack of questions, because why not? One, can't wait to see how Schenn performs before calling this a loss. It's a loss already.
Schenn. Again, we're rooting for Schenn. It's not about Schenn's performance. It's just about the outlook of this team today and tomorrow.
Two, can we please put Duclair on the top line and then put Heinemann with Richie and Schenn? Would put Duclair in that spot because I feel like he can be successful while adding speed to Schenn's line. Please discuss. I actually agree with you because I think Duclair is the only one on this team that is capable of putting the puck in the net. So I like that. I think that could actually really help with the scoring. And I agree with you. I think Heinemann would work with Shen's line with Richie because I like them to shut down opponents' top lines. I mean, ideally not Celebrini, but other ones. So I like the way you're thinking there, honestly.
Can I be honest for the top line? I know he hasn't worked with Barzell for whatever reason, but and the second line really can't be broken up right now, I guess. But I wouldn't mind giving Holmstrom a shot with those two guys up top. And it's different. 92 Holmstrom is a different beast.
I could see it.
I would give it a try. I think he could flourish there.
Three, I agree with trading Cizikas in the offseason and truly rolling four somewhat even lines again. Do you think that's the plan, or do you envision Richie as a wing going forward?
I think Richie should be a center, right? He played – was he wing the whole time last night, or did they switch? He played mostly wing, right?
He was wing last night.
And he played well. But I think this happens with a lot of young players who start off on the wing to learn, and then they move towards the center position. So I'm fine with him having a veteran that's probably better on faceoffs at center, and then eventually he goes back to the center position.
Yeah, that's one more thing about this GM that I've got a little bit frustrated with. Like, I feel like Richie should be playing center somewhere, and it was the plan before the season, and we should be focused on his development and not adding what we've added to not really have that as a priority. And I get it, fine, but it's just something I've noticed is development with individual players is it's just gone out the door. And what started in a season of let's see where we can get with what we have has just turned into fuck development, fuck the future, let's try to win now with 13 million of proven Stanley Cup champions, I guess. Lastly, Jack, I truly love your positivity and love for this team. I will give you some time to digest, and having some concerns with Darsh is completely valid. However, we need you back soon. I'm not going anywhere. I love the players on this team and I love how they play, but that doesn't equate to having a good general manager. And I just think fans in general take opinions about their general manager like it's an opinion personal about the players or teams, and it shouldn't be personal. He's a team employee. He's never laced up the skates and put his body on the line for your squad. He's sitting in an office making deals that do have a big impact, but why do we have to give him credit for five players having an insane season and just willing this team every night? Like, I give them the credit. And why do I have to give Darsh credit? He didn't even acquire those guys.
And I think, too, with GMs, like, we kind of go one by one, timeline-wise, as things happen, we sort of judge the move. And the last three, I just didn't like any of them.
Do you guys agree with me, though? Like, why does it matter so much about – why does the GM matter in terms of being – like, why do fans – go to bat for their GM as if he's done something on the, like, unless they've won something and they're a proven winner and you've seen success with them? I don't get the offense people take to criticizing the general manager. I don't get it. To team employee.
We're very defensive over favorite teams, which is totally okay. And it's
not that deep.
Not, yeah. It's just not like, again, everyone's going to have their thoughts, whatever. And even on Twitter, like, sometimes people are like, oh, grow up, do this, do that, like making fun of each other or takes, whatever. It's for me, like, you're allowed to have your take. We're all individuals. We could have our individual take. Yours could be different, but these are our takes on the players, on the GMs. And right now, this GM is, in all our opinions, is not positive. The last three moves, Shen, Palat, and Soucy, in my mind, that's kind of, again, they might all place out and they might all perform well in the playoffs, and then we'll have guys on Twitter quoting us and saying this and that, whatever. But to me, those three moves are 0-3.
Holy shit. We have a lot more to get to. The Brian man has one more. Sorry.
He got his three in. Let's go.
Okay. Steve, can you guys add Bull Smith's Tavern to your list of sponsors? Mark D, is Matthew Schaefer too young and fast on this clear Stanley Cup contending team, or should we have moved him at the deadline for Shen? Okay, let's only take the serious questions. I think this is one.
Well, you're the one reading them, Jack. You're supposed to screen them slightly before you
screen them slightly, huh? K-Mac.
Well, when I read them, when you guys are answering, I'm reading the next question.
K-Mac, K-Mac's got his first question, and it's a macro question. I know people complain
Jackie Burgundy about, over here.
Did you skip Barry?
Oh, fuck. Realistically, who is Shen blocking from our prospect pool the next 2 to 3 years? Most of the Isles' higher prospects besides Nelson don't play center. I don't think this move, while at high cost, is negative long term. But you're right,
he's not blocking anyone.
It's the only reason I could say it's potentially negative long term, Barry, is you give up a first and a third, and you're just giving up assets. And I know, well, I'm sorry, a second and a third. And you just give up things that you could use for the bigger move. So now we have less ammo for maybe a Robert Thomas, less ammo for maybe whatever player we want to acquire. And it's going to be frustrating come the summer if you see another team grab that player for 2 firsts, a second, and a third, or whatever it may be, and we don't have those bullets to fire. So that's my future thing, is just that, again, Shen isn't the guy to use prime assets on.
Totally with you. Sloppy Tuna. Oh, no, K-Mac now. Macro question. I know people complain about the direction of the team and how they operate to just be good enough to make the playoffs or win a round. For example,
I'm just going to summarize his question. It's basically like, is there merit to just being able to get in and hoping you get hot as opposed to structuring your team in a specific way? I think that's the gist of his question.
I think this year there is, because I think it's a year by thing.
Yeah, the Metro is not always going to be this terrible.
Yeah, like we're going to have – that's what I mean. Like, and that's – the thing with the Shen deal in my mind is we're going to have to improve next year because Pittsburgh's getting better. Washington, we don't know with Ovechkin, but they have a ton of prospects, really good prospect pool. Like, this Metro is not going to stay weak. Carolina's Carolina. They're always going to be around. So Devils could bounce back. Who knows with the Rangers? They're never going to fully rebuild, so they're going to be trying. So I think we're going to see the weakest Metro it's in a while this year, and then who knows next year. And if we don't improve, I think we'll be in trouble.
How devastated is Ethan due to being robbed of Pierre Springvall this year?
Not devastated at all. Next question.
Pessimism aside, Nort, is there a world where the Isles add to their top six in the offseason?
Yes, but there's always a world in that world.
I mean, do you skip Kevin's question?
No.
Oh, fuck. Since Darsh doesn't know which way he's going, what are the moves you guys would make this summer to improve the team now and in the future?
I would have packaged both first and a ton of other stuff for Matthews, Knies, Robertson, Thomas, Kyrou, whatever else.
I think you have to maybe some – again, I know he said his goal was to keep the prospects forever. I think you have to be strategic. I think you have to look at your lineup now and the position guys play. And maybe you look at that left side and a guy who allegedly you were willing to Aitchison, you might have to be willing to give him up and a pick or whatever else and go and get that big time forward. Again, I don't know if that even done. I don't know if it gets close, but there's going to be a larger list of top six options on the trade market than usual in the offseason. I think we agree on that, right, Ethan? There's going to be a lot of guys available.
Yeah.
But again, they're really good players, and it's not going to be cheap, and there's going to be many teams competing for them. So hopefully he can make something work. There is a world where it potentially happens, but if I was to give you a name, I'd go right back to the Blues guys. Like, those guys are both really good fits in my mind. I love Robert Thomas. I think Robert Thomas would be our best forward.
Yeah.
Ryan, well, we have a couple questions that we already kind of went over. One from Jack: do you think re-signing Pageau will deter guys like Kyrou, Thomas, anyone else from coming here?
No, unless the money's not right, but they're already on contract. So those guys, I mean, I don't think they worry about Pageau and Shen, because you just tell them, hey, listen, you're going right to the top line. You're with Barzal Horvat. Or if Thomas is, you keep Thomas at center and you say, all right, you're Thomas and Barzal Horvat and Richie plays wing. You work it out. Like, those guys are higher up the lineup, so I don't think they're worried about Pageau.
Ryan 014, two-part question. Do you guys think this trade, despite its controversy, is really anything more than just a below-average trade? It feels like it's being blown out of proportion. It's not. My reaction really isn't just about that trade. It's when you actually take a look and dissect every trade we've seen in the last 2 months, that's where it's a complete, utter disgrace.
Yeah, it's just all older players brought in for future assets, and it's just – I just don't love it.
Two, can we talk about the point system in the NHL? Right now, standings are Pitt can finish ahead of us with more points, despite the Islanders being on track for more overall wins. I hate how these situations come up every season. You have a team with more overall wins and a team with less wins that lost the right way, more finishing ahead of them. The point system is the point system, man. Like, it doesn't bother me.
Like, if you went to a 3-2-1, which a lot of people push for. Like, yeah, regulation win is three, any other win is two. Overtime loss is one.
I don't like changing shit like that because I don't like when I don't really like that because
I don't think we can complain too much when we are really good in 3-on-3 overtime.
That's true too. BK, was Phil right?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm not sure, but sure.
Thomas Boyle, Matthews wants out of Toronto. Do we have the assets and the cap space to get him this summer? No, we do not.
I don't think we do anyway, and I think Matthews is one of those guys where, like, two or three spots he'd go to, and I don't think we're one.
Last question appears to be from Lyle. Hey, Jack, can you say five nice things about Braden Schenn, please? Thanks.
Jack Burgundy over here. We didn't need to read that one. We know you're not going to be able to say five nice things.
I won't. We're done.
Thank you all for listening. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe on YouTube. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Father, where's his Sunday best? Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep, he can't hang around. Io's house, in the middle of our street. Io's house.